I want to say this to you in starting tonight, because this is a subject that is extremely difficult. Okay, it's a subject that many people have been involved in, but it is a serious, serious issue. Now, I want to say this going in. If you go to the doctor today, and the doctor was to say, or tomorrow, you go to the doctor tomorrow, and the doctor says, you go in and you tell him, I have a fever, and my arm is hurting, and my leg hurts, and stomach hurts, and so those are all symptoms. So I always tell our counselors, I raise both of my hands like this, and I'll say, okay, this is the symptoms over here, okay? But there's something else causing it over here, okay? Your fever and the hurts that you have are not causing the problem. They are a symptom of the problem. So over here is where the issue lies, and that's what has to be corrected. And I want to just share this testimony with you. I've shared it with Pastor in a large church a couple of years ago. Maybe about a year and a half ago. And a church about 1,200 people. And they had just gotten back up and having services. And so we were there. Lady comes up to the book table. You know, we get hundreds of people that come to the book table. And it's hard for us to remember names and even faces sometimes. And she came up to the book table. She had had a rough life. And she bought every book on the book table. And so, we didn't have any contact with her. She didn't call us. She didn't ask questions. She had just read all of the books. And one of those is the book back there on hurt, how to deal with hurt. And she read that, and she had had some great hurts in her life, and God helped her to get through that with the information of turning and having a real relationship with God. And she had lost her son's heart, and she said, as I read your book, Rearing Spiritual Children to Serve the Savior, I realized that I'd lost my son's heart and my daily time with God, and I asked God to show me what to do, and God said to me I needed to go get my son's heart. And she made an effort to do that. God worked in it. And her son, who was at that point 10 years old, came back and got saved and started living with her again. And God really worked in her life in a miraculous and powerful way to change it over a period of a year with working with the booklets and books. So I thought, she sends us this email with a testimony. And I read it, sent it over to Kim, and she read it. And I said, what'd you think about that? And she said, I think it's wonderful to see God work in a person's life with as many problems as were there and without calling us, without asking us to help. Yet she read everything and she applied it. God changed her life. So I thought, well, maybe I better ask the pastor, okay, just to make sure, because I asked her if it would be okay if we use it. So maybe I just need to ask him, is this the real deal or not? So I called the pastor, talked with him, and he said, brother, I'm telling you, it's the real deal. Thank you for helping her. And we helped her without knowing that we helped her. Amen? And so God, see, our whole deal here is that God can change people's lives. We're all about biblical long-term change in people's lives, helping them to have a real, intimate, personal, passionate relationship with God. Tonight, I'm going to deal with a difficult subject. Okay? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, when I say difficult subject, I don't want to scare you. Okay? Don't get scared. We're going to learn some things here, okay? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let's stand together as we read out of respect to God and His Word. And tonight, I'm going to talk to you about one of the biggest issues that I believe the church has today. It's called dealing with gossip. Dealing with gossip. Ephesians chapter 4 And verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grace here means divine help. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now I'd like for you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And I'd like for you to look at verse 23. And this is very straightforward instruction here in Proverbs 21. Look at verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Isn't that interesting? Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Let's begin by having a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for meeting with us this morning, touching our hearts, using your word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, I submit myself to you. Pray that my mind and my heart will be yours. I need your help. We need your help. God, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work in this service, that you'll reach into our hearts and show us truth, that real change can be made here tonight. God, meet with us. Help us. Encourage us. I pray that you will just work in each individual's heart here tonight. Thank you for what you did this morning and encourage us now in your word. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look at this especially important principle this evening. What is this very wicked sin that is hurting people, hurting the church, and hurting the cause of Christ today? Now, have you ever been hurt so badly you did not know what to do? You know, a while back, and I want to share this with you now, and some time back, I had a young pastor and his wife contact me. They had decided to leave the ministry. In their first church, a person got angry with them over a small matter. And I want to say to you that this was one of the most difficult scenarios that I've dealt with. They talked to others in the church and the issue got blown way out of proportion. It ended up that several families left the church and went to another church and, of course, said horrible things about the young pastor and his wife. The pastor of the church that took in these families did not call the young pastor to see if any of these facts were true. Then it was spread to other churches, and come to find out, virtually none of the things that were said were true. None of the things that were said concerning the young pastor and his wife were true. However, not one person spoke to them to find out if it was true or not. My heart was broken for them. And with a devastating series of events for this young couple, we were able to help them, but this was extremely difficult. Now, sadly, this type of thing goes on a lot. It's of epidemic proportions. And just remember, people may talk about something because they're covering their own sin. And what they may be saying might not be true at all, or it is a very slanted version of events. Now, one of the things that has injured the Church of Jesus Christ today in many families is this issue of gossip. Most people who participate in gossip, they do not understand that they are gossiping. A person who gossips is at heart a rebellious person. And behind a rebellious person is always a pride issue. Now, turn back to Proverbs chapter 14. And look at verse 3 with me. Well, we're going to do a little Bible turning this evening. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 3 with me. And kind of interesting as you watch this and watch this unfold biblically for us. In Proverbs 14 and verse 3, the Bible says this. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of what, folks? Pride. So what's behind gossip? Pride. All right, turn over to Proverbs 16 and look at verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18 says this. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, pride says, look at me. Haughty says, I don't think much of you. So pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. In every church you find someone or several someones who do injury to others by gossip. So what is gossip? The Bible talks about this powerfully. And first, the Bible says that gossip is called backbiting. Backbiting is when a person decides to talk to other people about the intimate details of another person's life for the purpose of personally trying to injure them. Ooh, that's wicked, isn't it? Well, I want to say it, I want to repeat it for you again. Backbiting is when a person decides to talk to other people about the intimate details of another person's life or lives for the purpose of personally trying to injure them. Now, let's go over to Proverbs 15 and verse 3. Since we're back here, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. I'm sorry, Psalms 15. Psalms 15 and verse 3. Psalm 15 and verse 3. Now notice what it says. I said, now, remember I said that the Bible says that gossip is called backbiting. Now, Psalm 15 and verse 3 says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, turn back to Galatians chapter 5. I know we're turning, but we need to see it in the Bible. Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse 15. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. And by the way, the Bible speaks about this multiple times, and it speaks about it powerfully and what God thinks about it. In Proverbs chapter 15, Galatians 5 and chapter 15, the Bible says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one of another. Now, but what's the answer? Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So gossip is a what? Lust of the flesh. Gossip is a lust of the flesh. Secondly, the Bible says that gossip is not only called backbiting, but it's called slander. To slander a person, you must state things that are false. Now, at one point in time in my life, I was the publisher of the nation's fastest growing daily newspaper. So I understand what the meaning of slander is. Okay? To slander a person, you must state things that are false. And you know they're false. And with the purpose and intent of doing harm to them. Slandering means the person is using lies and deceit, seeking to injure people. When people spread malicious rumors about someone with the motive of injuring them, that's very wicked gossip and sin. We must be extremely careful about passing along things that we hear. Now listen to me carefully. If there is any question whatsoever about the truthfulness of something, it's essential to verify it from someone who does really know the matter. Now, not just someone who heard something from someone else or others who have been known to pass things around to hide their sins. We need to make sure of that. Now, turn back to Psalm 101 and look at verse 5. Psalm 101. I know if you've ever heard this, someone says to you, well, I'm going to tell you this, but you can't tell anybody else. I'm going to tell you this, but you can't tell anybody else. Psalm 101 and verse 5 says, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. So pride is involved again. Now, Psalm 52, verse 2 through 4 says this, the tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Do you hear that? Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest, and so it's talking about the individual, says, thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Romans chapter 3 and verse 8 says, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Proverbs 10:18 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. I want to say that again. Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth anger or hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In dealing with this issue, I have asked the question, have you talked to that person? I've heard people say after they've repeated something they heard from someone else, he or she is a good man or woman, so I know it's true. Seriously. You just repeated something you heard someone else say, and you don't know the facts if it is true or not. And folks, I want to tell you something. That's a serious sin. That is wickedness. I want you to listen carefully to me. A lot of times people will say things to others to make themselves look better and leave out details of the sins of their lives. They do not realize they are out of fellowship with God, and we learned about that this morning. They don't realize they're out of fellowship with God. They're deceived about their life. They want people to think well of them without dealing with the sins of their lives, so they say things to others to take the attention away from their sins. They play the part of being a Christian. We don't need part players. We need real Christians. We need people who have a real relationship with God, and that their mouth is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Turn back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse 7. Now, you all know this. I'm sure Pastor Miller's preached on it many times. Notice what it says. Be not deceived. So, he's saying here somebody's deceived. Be not deceived. By the way, it's contextually talking to Christians. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption or destruction. But he that soweth to the Spirit, it shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, I want you to think with me. You know, Someone starts out a conversation, did you hear about? And that's a red flag that goes up in the air that you need to say, you know, have you talked to the other person here? Because you're about to hear something you may not need to hear. One of the biggest problems in the church today are Christians who are out of fellowship with God, as we talked about this morning. They're in destruction mode and do not know it. Do you hear me? They're in destruction mode and they don't know it. And we must pay very close attention to our fellowship with God daily and moment by moment. They may go to church every service, look the part of a Christian, and play a part, but inwardly, it's just not the case. The passage of Scripture below, what I'm going to say right now, I'm going to give you a passage of Scripture to look at. And it's being violated by those who pass on items of gossip and listen to gossip. We were with a young pastor a while back, and he and I were talking, and I said, "Now I just want you to realize, being in the ministry, you're going to have to deal with people's issues. And that's not always going to be easy. And quite frankly, they can live like the devil. They can be involved in immorality. They can be involved in all kinds of wickedness. And they can do all kinds of different things. And no matter what you did, you didn't handle it right." And so I told the young pastor, I said, "Now, I just want you to understand, you can put your heart and life into that situation and try to help them and try to help them turn their life around. But no matter what you did, you didn't handle it right." And that's what they'll say. And they can live a wicked life, but you didn't handle it right. Well, listen, I'm not the one living that life. You are. But no matter how you live, no matter what I tried to do biblically, you didn't handle it right. And I said, "So, when you hear that, you immediately need to turn that over to God. Because I know that, you know, now I know there are people that handle things biblically incorrect, but I also know that there are many good and godly pastors who have went to God and asked how to handle that situation. And they're trying to help. But no matter what they did, they didn't handle it right." And so in this particular instance I mentioned to you, they were told, "Well, you didn't handle it right." Well, there wasn't nothing to handle to begin with. You blew it all out of proportion. You blew it up. Turn back to Proverbs now, and I want you to get this verse, folks. Proverbs 18, and look at verse 13. I'd underline it in your Bible. But I'm going to start reading with verse 12. Okay, now watch what it says. Before destruction, the heart of man is what, folks? Haughty. And before honor is humility, meaning submission. Now, this is the verse I want to get to. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, I'll give you an example. In marriage counseling, we try very hard to not counsel one side without the other side. Years ago, I had a lady who, you know, she'd come to church and she would tell us all kinds of things about her husband. I mean, he was the meanest man that ever walked. He did this and this and this and this and this and this. And she, as she continued progressing, it always got worse and worse and worse. So I said to her, all right, I'm going to bring him in and set both of you down, and we're going to talk. And so we did. And so I said to her, now you have told us, Kim and I, that your husband has done this and this and this. Now, isn't that what you said? Boy, she got uncomfortable. Started looking down at the floor. I said, is that what she said, Kim? He said, yes. And her husband looked over and he said, you said that? You know I didn't do that. Why are you coming in here and telling them that I did this and I didn't do this and you know it? So I said to her, did he do it or not? And I'm going to tell you right now that you're answering before God Almighty and in front of your pastor and your pastor's wife. Before you ever open your mouth. Now, is this the truth or not? She says, no. It's not. I said, now you're sure. I just want to know the truth. She says, no, it's not. Now, if we had not brought her in and did what we did, we would have been giving her counsel that was incorrect. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame unto him. And I guarantee you, folks, there's a whole lot of folly and shame going around. So I want to hear both sides. And I want to make sure, and so it's Pam, right? And what, sir, what's your name? Max. All right, Max and Pam's coming in for counseling. Okay? All right. So I say to Pam, tell me what the problem is. Now, I pretty much already know what it is because they filled out their forms. But I say to Pam, tell me what the problem is. And so Pam goes on for 20 minutes telling me what the problem is. Okay? Doesn't even come up for air. Okay? And Max, you can't talk. You just got to let her talk, okay? But Max is going to get a chance to talk. And so when Pam's done, I look over at Max and I say, Max, is that true? And what do you think the problem is? And then he goes on for 20 minutes. But the whole point of it is we're not going to talk over each other, but I'm going to understand what the real truth is here. And I guarantee this, that most generally, the truth is in the middle. And so we need to find out where the truth really lies and deal with the truth. Amen? Now, so, you know, people gossip about their spouse. They got, you know, and they say mean and hurtful things. But here's the answer. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame unto him. Now, if somebody had come back to my young pastor and asked him, what happened here? But the next thing you know, the preacher's fellowship knew all about it. But nobody asked him. Of course, you know, Hermione Preacher's Fellowship took that as gospel, shared it with others. Now, you understand why the young couple was totally devastated? Wanted to quit. Wanted to get out of the ministry. People going to treat you like this? I don't want to be in the ministry. If you don't know both sides of a story, don't talk about it. Also, next question is this really any of your business? Gossip is getting involved in other people's business and affairs when there's no legitimate reason to be involved, and the Bible calls it talebearing. There is no legitimate reason to be involved. It's not your business. Turn back to Proverbs 20 and look at verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. Now remember what I said the definition of a talebearer was? Look what the Bible says. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Turn back there, please. So now, are you convinced that the Bible says quite a bit about this? And this is just touching the top of these verses, okay? There's a whole lot more. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this is a powerful passage on the subject. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Remember the definition. Now them that are such, we commend and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that they with quietness, and with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now, for we hear that there are some that are disorderly. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. Turn back there. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. The Bible says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So, does the Bible speak on this subject? Yes or no?
Yes.
And strongly. And we're not done. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 15. The Bible says, but let none of you suffer. Now, I want you to, this verse really blows me out of the water, okay? I want you to see what level that God puts this stuff on. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a what, folks? Busybody in other men's matters. God considers it just as bad as being a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer. Got it? Amen? God considers this just as bad as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer. God says that a busybody is a disorderly person. So what does the Bible tell us to do with a person who's a busybody? Turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at verse 6. So watch the level on which this is put on. It says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh," what, folks? "Disorderly, and not after the tradition he received of us." Now look at verse 14. "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle," and the Bible says, "note that man, and have no company with him that he may be ashamed." That's called biblical separation. I believe in biblical separation. I know Pastor Miller does. So I want you to understand that one of the things that God says that we need to understand about this subject is that if a person is continually habitually involved in it, it's something that we need to get away from. We need to get away from. We need to step away from so that they will be ashamed of what they're doing. Now, listen carefully to me. Listen real careful right now. Every Christian is responsible for what he hears and what he speaks. Amen? Amen. Every Christian is responsible for what he hears and what he speaks. Now, you don't have to turn to these. I'm just going to quote them for you. Proverbs 21, 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." We've already read it. "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from" what? Troubles. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days," listen to this, "let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." The word guile means deceit. Proverbs 23:12 says, "Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge." Now, I've told our students, and just I know that we've held for 11 years, we've held a Hope Baptist National Biblical Counseling Training Conference in some part of the world. What I have told the people in the counseling conference and what I told our own church people when we did counseling in our local church is this. We cannot have lone rangers as counselors. A gossiper is generally a lone ranger. They do what they want, say what they want, and nobody can tell them any differently. And if you're a rebel to authority and believe it's okay to do whatever you wish, no matter what the position of the church or the pastor is, we can't have you. In this matter, we can't allow you to be involved in counseling. Now, obviously, if a person handles themselves in this way as a stubborn, rebellious person, they can get themselves hurt and get others hurt. And the wrong spirit and rebellion automatically do not make you a candidate to counsel other people. Do you hear me? The wrong spirit and rebellion automatically do not make you a candidate to counsel others. Your spiritual maturity is not developed enough to help other people because of pride and rebellion to authority in your life. Now, we had, I think, at one point 37 people sign up, came at our church to want to be counselors. And I had to tell a few that you can't. You just can't. Because your spiritual maturity is not developed enough to be a help to other people. You're going to have a real relationship with God if you're going to help anybody make change in their life. Amen? Now, turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to notice the first word in this. Hebrews chapter 13 and look at verse 17. I know pastors preached on this, but I'm going to, for the purpose of what we're looking at, I want to be able to look at verse 17. It says, obey them. Obey them that have the rule over you. And notice this, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. One of our churches, Pastor Miller, we had a lady, and she is what the Bible would describe as a codependent independent. Meaning that she believes that she is going to be the answer for everybody, and she gathers information. Okay? So we had a man who brought his mother to church first time. And so, you know, we always had handshaking. And so, you know, in the handshaking, she would always come up and she says, they live here and they've got this kind of car. They know this dog and their blood type is this. I mean, she knew everything about them before the service even started. And then she said, now, if you can't bring your mother to church, we'll be glad to come get her. They just walked in the door, woman. And so I said, look, all I need you to do is say, hi, my name is, and we're glad you're here today. That's it. You don't need to interrogate her or them. And so when I tried to explain that to her, she was like, well, I never. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want you to never do that again. Well, just introduce yourself. Be kind. Be glad they're in church. Instead of taking their blood type and their social security number and their address and their cell phone number and everything they got. But the purpose of that is this. Gather information. And, you know, she was very good at this. And she would bring gifts to the ladies of the church. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's done with the right motive. Amen? But there wasn't a right motive here. And so she would give a gift. And, oh, honey, you dress so nice. You're so pretty today. Yeah. And Pastor Miller says, thank you. Okay. And, oh, I just love the way you've done your hair. Oh, you're so kind. And so what's she doing? She's reeling them in. And so gossip. She gathers this. And the Bible describes this as in the passages that we're talking about. Codependent, independent. Thinking they are the answer. Now, there's no harm in encouraging somebody. Amen? But you got to do it with the right motive. Amen? It's not to get information that you can use against them. And so then she got on the phone and she would talk to them and she would get intimate details of their life. And when the person finally decided that, wait a minute, this is getting too personal for me, what would happen? Then she would say, well, and then she would tell everybody else everything she learned. Is that wicked or what? Did you know that her and her husband are doing this? Did you know that? Did you know this? Did you know that? Did you know this? Now, I want to ask you a question, though. Then who eventually gets to deal with all of that garbage? Pastor Miller. Okay? And you know what, Pastor Miller? No matter what you did, you didn't handle it right. What I'm trying to get across to you is that you don't have to do that. And it's not godly. It's not appropriate. And it hurts people. It hurts people. And some of the people that we counsel have been so hurt. First Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Proverbs 17:11 says, "An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." Now I tell our students, I tell those that we're teaching counseling, to beware of the fact your counselee may do well for a while, and then something happens, and they go back to their old ways of doing things and the way they made life work before in sin. Just remember that if that happens, you will be the target of their wickedness. For them to try to justify the sins and wickedness of their lives that they're now doing. I want to say that again. I tell our students to beware of the fact that your counselees may do well for a while and then something happens and they go back to their old ways, the old ways of doing things, the way they made life work before in sin. And just remember that you will be the target of their wickedness. For them to try to justify the sins and wickedness of their lives that they are now doing. Listen to me, folks. 9 times in the Bible, God speaks using the word rebellion. Every time he takes a very dim view of that subject or of a person who's rebellious. Most people who gossip actually believe they're helping other people. Really, a person who gossips wants to manipulate or control the person to whom they are gossiping, and they also feel a great desire to be the go-to person, but their motives are not correct. They get their self-esteem